おはよう日本協会。私はスティーブンです。And I'm from Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. First of all, I want to thank the Japan Church for the special invitations. I wish I'm here with you physically, just like how I was there 5 years ago during this Jubilee. I really miss Japan. My wife and I always talk about going back to Japan for a visit again if there's a given opportunity in the future, because we truly felt the love by the warm hospitality all of you has shown to us when we were there. Nonetheless, I'm still very excited and honored to be able to preach to all of you today. The title of my sermon this morning is Together We Build the Body. Let's read from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 to 5. As a prisoner of the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. The book of Ephesians is one of the four epistles commonly known as the prison epistles. It was during the time that Paul was in Rome undergoing his first Roman imprisonment. The letter of the Ephesians is about unity in the church, which is the body of Christ. Unity is something that God cares when he first built his ministry, because he cares about our relationship with one another. That is why at the beginning of the Ephesians chapter 4, Paul began to urge all of us to live a life that is worthy of our calling. In other words, we are to live a life as Christians that is to be humble, gentle, patient, and bearing with one another in love, so that we can maintain the unity of the Spirit to the bond of peace. Not only did he mention the unity of the Spirit in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 13. Let's read that. So Christ himself gave the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attending to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Paul also told them that they also need to build up the body of Christ, which is the church, until they all reach the unity in faith and knowledge and become mature. You see, God made it very clear that the building up of the church is the responsibility of every disciple, and not just the ministers or the leaders. Today, our mindset of the church is so messed up. We may not say it, but if we examine our own heart and mind, we actually believe that building the church is primarily the role of the leaders. If not, then the full-time staff are fully responsible. For example, if the church is not growing, we will think to ourselves, it is the fault of the leaders. They are supposed to lead the way. Or, well, the full-time staff should figure it out. That's why we pay them, right? Or when the church is not healthy, why are the leaders not doing anything about it to change the situations? Or, well, the full-time staff should do something about it. After all, that's what they are paid for, isn't it? Again, he further explained in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. From him, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. It is very clear to me that when God put all of us together, he expects you and I to maintain and also to build the unity as each one of us does our part in the body of Christ, which is the church. Just like what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 to 14. Just as the body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Look at the words. One body, many parts. Paul easing the church into the concept of church, purposefully designed by God, to be able to made up of many parts, which is them, or even us today. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 22 to 27, the Bible says here, on the contrary, those parts of the body that seems to be weaker are indispensable, and the part that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor, and the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no divisions in the body, but that its part should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part honored, every part rejoices with it. You are where you are in church because God intended. God intended for part to play each role so that the body, which is the church, can function healthily. Each one of us is responsible for the church becoming healthy or unhealthy. God made it very clear, all parts must be responsible to work together. When body parts are not in sync, the body becomes sick and divided. You see, divisions means to split or tear. Parts that do not play the part given to them by God will cause a division in the body. You will cause a tear, a split. Disciples who do not take their role seriously, they will cause a division from parts. They will cause a split. How do we make sure there's no divisions in the body? According to the Bible, parts should have equal concern for each other. And that's the first point for today. Equal concern for each other. God is saying equal concern. Equals means the same. Concern means to care, to be anxious, and also trouble. Does it say that the minister should care more about the state of the church? Should the leaders care more about how your small group is doing than you, just because they are leaders? Should the minister care more about the growth of the church than you because they are paid? Should the leaders be more concerned for the weak in your small group than you because they are supposed to carry more responsibility? Just like what we have just read in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. The body of Christ, which is the church, are meant to join and help together by every supporting ligament. In other words, everyone support each other by showing equal concern. As we grow and build up each other in love, so much concern do they have that they feel the suffering of the other parts. They feel the honor when other parts are honored. That's how connected they are to each other. Do you know this guy? Perhaps some of you know him in Japan. His name is Shoji Morimoto, who lives in Japan, and he earns by renting himself out to do nothing. Basically, what he does is he charges his client 10,000 yen per session. On top of that, they have to also pay for his expenses for travel and also meal. But he will not do anything except eat, drink, and give a simple response to his client. Someone interviewed him and he says he sees 3 to 4 clients a day, and he has seen 3,000 clients since he first launched his service in 2018. He also said that people rent him for various reasons, but most are bored or lonely and simply want to be listened to. Brothers and sisters, did you hear what he says? Most of his clients are bored, lonely, and simply want someone to listen to. In other words, there is no one around them that care and also love them. Brothers and sisters, I just pray none of us will be his client one day. Amen? Do you know that the number of suicide rates in Japan is rising due to the loneliness and social isolation, or in Japan, commonly known as a hikikomori? And because of that, 2 weeks ago, your Prime Minister has just appointed Tetsushi Sakamoto to be your first ever Minister of Loneliness. Can you imagine a specific ministry, the Ministry of Loneliness, just to handle the suicide rates? Brothers and sisters, did you get the message here? People are dying every single day in Japan, and the number is rising because of loneliness and social isolation. In other words, they have lost their hope in life. Now, I'm not here to compare Malaysia is better than Japan. For that matter, I believe everywhere in the world are the same. They are people who are lonely, social, isolated themselves, and feeling hopeless. At least, I appreciate the Japanese government has the concern to want to do something about it. But I believe those who are lonely and despair, what they need is not just a temporary solution of getting someone with them for a few hours, but rather who will be there to show them equal concern because of love. What they need in their life is God's love and God's church, which is you and I. Personally, I'm very proud of Bruce and June, who are leading one of the mission churches outside Kuala Lumpur, which consists only 7 members. Last year, God has done amazing things through this group of disciples who have helped Ivy Loy to find hope in God during her grief and loss. If you remember, more than 6 years ago, there was a Malaysian airline flight, MH17, that was shot down by a missile. And Ivy Loy is the wife of Captain Eugene Chu. Before I continue, I would like you to watch a short video interview we did with her last year for our Christmas service. Let's watch it now.
The lives of more than 300 innocent air travellers. A Malaysian Airlines jet flying from Amsterdam to Kuala Lumpur appears to have been shot down over eastern Ukraine, coming down near the village of Kabul.
I'm mother of 2 boys, Scott and Melvick. Scott is 17 years old and Melvick is 19 years old. I'm the widow of Captain Eugene Chu. I actually met my husband during working days when I was a stewardess. We got married year 2000 and I stopped working year 2001 and became a full-time housewife. I'm actually busy with the 2 boys and the family. I would say it's really good life. And my husband used to call me Lady of Leisure. He's the breadwinner. And I don't have to worry about our financial status. I would say it's a very happy family where my husband really take care of all of us. Just waiting for the boys to grow up. Then both of us can travel around the world. I'm excited that he's coming back. And I told my mom that, oh, I need to go to Aeon to get something to cook for him for tomorrow. Came back as per normal. I'll clear all the stuff. And his colleagues call me first and say they are coming to my house. So when they came and they broke the news to me. Asking myself, why me? Drop from the sky to the drain at that time. I really I have nothing. And I cried many times at night alone. I also wish that all of us, me, my husband and the two boys, we are all on the same flight. So all of us will go together. I've lost my pillar, where my best friend, my lover, where the person who sleep next to me is gone. I feel lost. But what to let me carry on is both my boys and my sick mom. And my mom passed away after 4 months. I tried a drink from beer to spirits and put me to sleep. I really got no hope already. Like, how am I going to carry on? Very thankful that I have a lot of friends that supported me emotionally, encouraged me to pray, encouraged me to we pray together, then we sing some worship songs. God is really there for me to help me all the while, and I didn't realize. I feel like I'm God's daughter. I baptized on the 23rd of August this year. I started my Bible study February this year. I joined this church because I really feel like I'm part of the family, and I feel I'm there with one another, like a big family. I feel like, that's my home already. Comfortable, and I feel very safe. God is with me, so He will bless me lah. I rely on Him lah. And I know He always listens to my prayer, because whatever I ask, I think I always get the answer from Him. God is opening the door for me and send a lot of angels to me that my son gets scholarship and I can stand on my own feet to earn a living. Out of my joy, I tell friends my own experience. Yeah, I share with them how I feel, and I invite them to my church and just give it a try. I would like to tell those who having difficulty and hopeless, don't give up. Try to talk to God. He is there waiting for us to look for Him. He will show the lights to you until the end of the tunnels.
Bruce and June got to know about Ivy 2 years ago. Both of them were invited to speak to one of the house church in Seremban, and they got to know a guy called Jacob. Jacob loves our church because he sees how Bruce and June love the Brandon sisters and how they were so involved with each other's life. He saw the difference and started to invite many of his friends to join the church, and one of them was Ivy Lloyd. Ivy started the Bible study in February last year. During the Bible study, all the brothers and sisters were involved. The sisters were there studying the Bible with Ivy, and the brothers were there to spend time with the two sons. Not only that, Alice, who has been studying the Bible, requested to also sit in Ivy's study because she wanted to be there to support Ivy and also help her spiritually. Even though there were only a handful of disciples in the Seremban church, but each does its part to show equal concern for each other. Because of that, Ivy managed to see God's love through his body, which is the church, and she decided to get baptized in August last year. The amazing news was Alice, who sat in the Bible study, also decided to get baptized on the same day. The truth is, if all parts of the body are doing their part well, the body will not be burdened, but healthy and strong. Growth will come very naturally. My second point today is right vision of God. not only do we need to build the body with an equal concern for each other, but it is also important for all of us to build it with the right vision of God. Because if we do not have the right vision, we will not have the right direction. Vision is basically what God has called us to be. In other words, the church that God has called us to be. Remember what we have learned from Paul at the beginning of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 to 5. He urged all of us to live a life worthy of a calling you and I have received, and expect all of us to become someone humble, gentle, patient, and bearing with one another in love, so that we can maintain the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. This is how the vision of God looks like. You see, we need to believe in our calling, belong to the body, which is the church, and eventually become more like Christ. God's vision is for us to eventually become more and more like Christ. You and I know the best way for us to capture God's vision is from the Bible. Our belief in the scriptures will eventually decide who we will become, and of course, the future of the church. So if we don't get the vision right, you and I will not be able to become who God wants us to be, just like Christ and the church that He wants us to build, just like the first century church in the Bible. God didn't call us to live a life as a Christian for only 2, 5, or even 10 years, or build a church of disciples only will last for the first 10, 20, or even 30 years. Then we can relax and sit back and think, wow, after all, I have sacrificed many years for the church. Now it's just time for the next generations to build. Or I have tried my very best to live for Christ in the first 15 years of my Christian life. Now it's time for me to live a life for myself. So in order for us all, the church, to always move in the right direction, we all got to have the right vision. Our belief in the scriptures will decide the future of our church. So the question is, do we really believe in the Bible? We got to be careful that we should not have our own idea, impression, imagination, or even our own interpretation of God's word. We have to make sure that it is always in line with the Bible. You know what? It doesn't take a lot for us to go in a complete different direction of where God wants us to be. You can already imagine, if you are on a plane and it only has to make a few degrees difference at any point of the right direction, and your plane will end up in a complete different destination. A few degrees of shifting from God's word will still give you an impression, I'm heading down the general direction where God is calling me. You may still think you are going in the same direction, at least for a while, but the destination will be very different. Brothers and sisters, it doesn't take a lot for us to deviate from God's path for the church or for us to be who God wants us to be. All we have to do is to compromise a bit here and there and cut corners here and there. Brothers and sisters, we need to understand one thing. Directions is not determined by good intention. Good intention is not what gonna help us to become who God wants us to be. For example, none of us want to be a lukewarm Christian when we first got baptized. I believe all of us want to be a fired-up Christian who will obey everything God has commanded us to do. All of us, I believe, have good intentions. Good intentions will never determine our direction. Intention is not direction. Well, I'm not saying we should not have good intention, but for us to become who God wants us to be, good intention is not enough. We need to go deeper than that. We cannot comfort ourselves with the thoughts thinking, at least the church is still baptizing one or two people a year, or at least I'm still joining the small group even though I don't read my Bible and pray. Or things are not that bad as it looks. Or the church has more visitors last week compared to the previous week. We have to stop being shallow and look deeper. Otherwise, the church will be in trouble. Here's the difference between intention and direction. You see, intention is driven by desire. And I believe that our basic desire of human being is comfort. Comfort means avoidance of any sufferings, afflictions, difficulties, inconveniences, awkwardness, or even embarrassment. Anything that falls into these categories, we will try to avoid them. Desires are our wants. Directions, on the other hand, is absolutely driven by God's vision. God shows us what He wants, and our job is to see, understand, and capture that vision. God's vision does not change and never will. Intention is also driven by our emotions. We are emotionally driven creatures. Emotions play a huge role in us. In doing what we do, our intention changes with how we feel. For example, you may start off the day with the intentions to finish certain tasks. But halfway through your day, you have received a bad news. Then you are discouraged and demotivated to continue. You see, the desire and the emotions, they are not consistent. Direction is also driven by faith. We have to trust the vision given by God and believe that He has the best interest in us. Whatever He asks us to do is for our good, even though it may seem to make no sense at all. Lastly, intention can also be driven by consequences. Consequences are any kinds of outcome. The outcome plays an important part in our decision-making if we are not driven by vision, especially negative outcomes. For example, you know lying is sin, but if you don't lie, you will get into trouble. So you will choose not to obey the Bible and lie in order for you to avoid the negative outcome. On the contrary, directions will lead us to obedience. It means we will simply act on what we have come to trust. We got to do our best to follow and get those around us to do the same. Intention is never going to be the right way to live if we want to become where God wants us to be. But with the right direction, we will. So, brothers and sisters, we need to get back our vision of the church that God has called you and I to be. Together, we have to build the body with equal concern for each other in church and also correct our direction as the church is capturing the right visions of God. It's like if you are going on a journey and at some point you found out, if I continue down the road, it's going to land me in the wrong direction. When you see the destination is wrong, then you need to find the right destinations and change your direction, because that's where you want to be and that's where we can become. Brothers and sisters, once again, thank you so much for having me this morning, and I truly hope this lesson has been helpful to all of us. I hope my wife and I will be able to visit the Japan Church again. Please do stay safe during this pandemic, and we will continue to pray for you all in Japan. Arigato, mata ne.